praise your name, to sing joyful songs unto you, Lord God, and let our hearts be full with joy and expectation to what, Lord God, you will reveal to us tonight. Now, continuing on in last week's talk from what Taddy had said, I ask you, Lord, your spirit be with us, and your spirit of prophecy, Lord, would be revealed amongst us, that we would have something, Lord, that would be exciting in our lives, something, Lord God, that we can all look to forward to as believers, knowing, Lord God, there is a day when Jesus is to return. So I ask, Lord, to bless me and bless your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week, Taddy spoke in the review of the parable of the fig tree. And, you know, he said that no one knows for sure when Jesus will return, and he's right. But then he went on to give outlines of events that took place, starting from the land of Israel. Israel being back in this land in 1948, which was an amazing thing. God's clock started ticking. Israel is God's time clock. And if you watch Israel, you will know where we are in prophetic terms. And Taddy started to speak about this, and often we see and look at Israel and the things that are happening there to what's happening in the world. And in fact, it was only this year that the American president, Donald Trump, declared Israel as being Jerusalem as being Israel's capital city. And that was a massive thing that kind of went on the news and was a big thing, but it actually was a massive thing. The first time ever history that something like that had happened. So that was another big, big event. And Taddy went on to say that Jesus could return within the next 10 years. Now, I nearly had a minor heart attack when Taddy said that at the back of the church. And I couldn't believe that he was actually saying it. And I was so wrapped up in his talk, and this is the truth. I was so wrapped up in what he said, because I kind of knew it anyway. I knew this the parable very well, but in that, I went home, and I will not tell you any lies if I did not spend 2 or 3 hours on my computer with my Bible searching out everything that man said to make sure that what he was saying, I'm not doubting him in any way, but just so entranced in what he had said that that I spent hours at it, and I came up with the same conclusion that he was right, that possibly could be in the next 10 years the return of Jesus. And for an evangelist, he was a really good prophetic speaker. And so there you go, Taddy's got two gifts now. I am boiling up here, by the way. But yes, so I was really, yeah, so I thought it was fantastic. I think it's one of the best prophetic talks that I'd ever heard in my Christian walk. So I'm holding my breath for the next 10 years. Okay, so I'm reading two very short passages from Matthew. We're in Matthew 23, 24, 25, 26 is really where we've been. We're going back and forth in it. And my two passages are actually repeated about 4 times within those book and those chapters, and I'm just going to read them because they're so short. There's really no point in turning to them. Well, if you want. First, Matthew 24 and verse 36 says this: "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." That's the first verse. And chapter 25, verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So basically, my two texts are talking about no one knows when Jesus is going to come back, except for Taddy, in the next 10 years. And by the way, I'm going to really delve into a bit more conjecture tonight. Can't wait. I've been waiting for this opportunity in here for nearly 18 years to do this. So I want to consider a simple concept for a minute before we start. And that is the concept of time, which we all know. Time is the ongoing sequence of events taking place. To the past, the present, the future. The basic unit of time is the second. Then you have the minute and the hour, the day, the week, the month, and the year. And we can measure all things using time. Time is something that is precious to us all. We use it definitely every day. We use the day to guide us for our 12 hours. And at night, we have that for our nighttime pattern of sleep. The sun gives its light and the moon gives its light. And those are the basic things that we have. Even before the Rolex watches became a big thing, they used the sundials, and that's how they told the time. So it's always been. The seasons give us the periods during the year, as Taddy pointed out. Some of us are spring, summer, half dead and dead. As my mum said, I'm dead, according to Taddy, when he talked about the time spans and the seasons. in relation to his talk. And we have a set pattern of events that take place throughout the year. So we have time. Time is the structure to everything that we do. And there is a saying that says, time and tide, as the sense says, wait for no man. In other words, you can't hold back time, you can't stop time, and you can't turn time back. There's time is something that we have very little power over. Nothing we can do to prevent it, to stop it, to halt it, or to make it go any faster. Time marches on, meaning something changes all the time, goes all the time. My mom is a woman full of wisdom, full of many wonderful sayings, and I quote her all the time. And tonight's saying from my mother is, the only place you can see time is on your face. The aging process is cruel, except for myself. But she's right enough, you know, you can't see time, you can't tell time, but, you know, when you're aging, you can definitely see it. But the other point about time is, if we could only but turn back time for an hour, this is something we would all love to do. We'd all be able to turn back the clock. We'd all be able to go back to a point of our life where we could replay and fix all the mistakes or the errors that we've made. Maybe this week, maybe last year. You know, there's times in life where we wish we could have done things differently, said things in a different way, or maybe been able to hold a loved one more time before they passed over. And then you've got these lunatics that exist on the internet. The internet's great fun, right? Lunatics that exist, saying they've been space traveling, been 20 or 30 years in the future and come back. But what they tell you isn't really any different to what we know, so I dismiss it. But we have all these sort of ideas about time, romantic ideas, and how time affects us and how we live by time. There's nothing else we can do without time. And in the Bible, of course, the Bible is the greatest book of all time. Do you know the Bible? And I'm going to look this up today because me and my daughter, Hannah, comes out with some wonderful things sometimes. And during the week, she's telling me, Daddy, do you know the Bible is the bestseller book in the world? And I knew it was sort of like 20 or 30 years ago. I thought, right, Hannah. So when I checked it, still number one, bestseller in the world, 5 billion copies sold. 5 billion. Harry Potter, 50 million. Bible, 5 million. Or sorry, 5 billion. I mean, that's a lot of Bible selling. And the thing about it is, and the reason being, is there is not one part of the Bible that has been found to be false, that any prophecy in it has found to be untrue. There is nothing in the Bible that the people who come against it or try to ridicule it or denounce it can find anything in the Bible that they can trash it with. The Bible is 100% truth and God's truth. And that's something really amazing. And so just to back that up a wee bit, there's two books in the Bible. I'm going to look at two things very quickly tonight. We've looked at it before, I think. One is John and the vision he had in Revelation. And the other is Daniel and the vision that he had. I'm not going to be reading from the verses. I'm not going to be referring to the books. I'm just going to put it across in the whole aspect of time. But before I get there, I want to just consider, and I know Teddy did this a few weeks ago, the days of Noah and the time that he was building that boat. Do you think Noah was wasting his time? Whenever he heard God speaking to him saying, Noah, I want you to build a boat in a place where it had never rained, in a desert, everybody else laughing at him, he's busy building a boat. And sometimes we wonder, do we hear God really at all when he tells us to do something like that, when he says, God, am I wasting my time building this boat? And I would say, they reckon it was between 55 and 75 years of this boat building. And I would reckon Noah, maybe, or somebody was saying, Noah, you know what? You're wasting your time. It's never going to happen. And when he finished building that boat, when he got on it, his family and the animals got on it, do you know what? And this is something I'm going to pick up twice tonight. The minute Noah got on the boat and closed the door was the minute the rain came down. The minute the people of God were saved was the minute the judgment rained down upon the earth. And you can imagine, like, it would be like one of those horror stories. You know, Noah shut the boat. I think it only was one window, whatever. I can't remember how many windows there were. But can you imagine everybody coming up the boat and trying to get in? You know, the water's coming up and they're starting to go up to their neck. You know, Noah, I'm sorry. Sorry. Too late. It was a cry of fate. But time for those people had run out. They had 70-odd years to listen to Noah. And they didn't listen. They laughed and they ridiculed him, I'd imagine. But guess what? The warning signs today are screaming bright red.
throughout this word.
There are so many warning signs that the return of Jesus is imminent that you would need to be blind not to see them. The signs are at the door, as Taddy said, and entering the final 10 years, which he's not saying is factual, but if it were, we're into a very dodgy couple of seasons. Now, coming back to my text tonight and looking at No One Knows the Time, it is one of the best guarded secrets. Even the angels in heaven do not know the time when Jesus is going to return. But I want to look at a period of time that we know is going to happen, but until last week, I wasn't able to put it into any time frame. But this week, I am. Now, I think it was Rita last week, last Sunday morning, spoke or read out from Daniel. And she read out a bit of Daniel and I really like it. It's about the time, and times a half. The period of time of tribulation that is going to come upon the earth. And in the book of Daniel, the prophet speaks of the Antichrist that is going to make a covenant for 1 week, 7 years, with the people of Israel. And the covenant that the Antichrist makes with Israel is called the 70th week of Daniel. So what you have very quickly is, up to the time of Jesus, you have 69 weeks. And then he's cut off, period of grace that we're in, and then you have what's called the final week, or what is going to be the final 7 years. And so that is the period of grace that we're all in. We are all in the final week. There's no more weeks after this period of time, but it's an extended period of grace. And we could go into this for weeks and weeks, but I'm just giving you a sort of a view of what I think. And to tell you that, in the book of Revelation, it describes a period of time where there's going to be 3.5 years of a great tribulation, and a period of time before that, 3.5 years of relative peace. That is the same period of time that Daniel is talking about. It's the tribulation. 3.5 years of nice, easy-going time when the Antichrist arrives and everything's going well and he makes friends with Israel and does all these great things. That's a period of time that is peace. And then we have 3.5 years, which are going to be the worst that this world has ever experienced. The tribulation. And just to sort of tie this to this a wee bit, in Matthew 24:15, it talks about the desolation, the abomination of the desolation of the temple. Whenever this Antichrist, in what I believe is going to be a new temple, the third temple in Israel, he is going to set himself up as a god, and he is going to desecrate the temple of God. And this is something that is, you'll all be thinking, but there's no temple yet. I'm a third temple believer. There's very few of me exist, and but I understand the word of God, and so in the Ezekiel, and so I understand how it must come. So here we have two periods of time that must happen, or one period of time in two different books that must happen. And it's well understood that the Antichrist, who will make the 7-year covenant with Israel, will appear to bring them peace. And then, of course, he is going to cause all merry hell to break loose. And then there's the whole idea of when the church, if it's going to be raptured, when will the church go? Will it go to 3.5 years? Will it go before? Will it go during it? Will it go after it? We don't know, and I'm not even going to start getting into that part of this. But If we take Taddy's 10-year concept from last week, his conjecture, and if you take my little bit of conjecture that I want to add into it, then what you'll have is you'll have a 3-year period from now to 3 years, and then you're going to have the 7-year period, and in that 7-year period you're going to have 3.5 years of relatively good peace, and then you're going to have 3.5 years of the tribulation. That is the end times, if you want, in 2 weeks, in 10 minutes, really, in a nutshell, of what will happen. Now, we're not saying this is set in stone. It's just something to give you a little bit of fun. Well, it's God's word, but to give you something to think about without being too heavy and trying to wait too far into the whole thing. But like I say, no one knows the hour, but we have a rough idea. Now, considering all that I've said, I want to now go back to another point, which says no one knows the hour. Now, when I was studying these two verses, I came across a Jewish religious writer. I can't remember his name. Really interesting. I love reading Jewish writings, you know, because they don't see Jesus. They they see everything from the sort of scriptures that they have point of view, and so they don't see Jesus. But this guy was a Messianic Jew, and he was talking about the feasts of the Lord. And there's a feast of the Lord called the Feast of Trumpets, or the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's also referred to as Rosh Hashanah. Hashanah. Of the seven feasts, this is the only feast that does not have an exact starting time. The other ones have precise starting times, but this one doesn't. And it's something to do with the way that the moon comes up on this particular feast. And it doesn't come up in an exact way, so therefore they have a variable time to when this feast can start. And so, for this feast, the Feast of Trumpets is also referred to in Jewish terms as the feast that no one knoweth the day or the hour. Well, that was really interesting. No, the feast is called No One Knoweth the Day or the Hour. If we look at what Jesus has said, no man knows the hour. Was Jesus trying to do a wee bit of conjecture again, like Taddy had said? You know, was Jesus giving us an insight into the feast that is yet to be fulfilled? And that maybe he is going to be the one that will fulfill that feast. You know, the seven other feasts that we've talked about, well, we know about Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Pentecost, Atonement, Tabernacles, and these other ones, they've all had fulfillments, except for this one feast. We know that, for example, Passover was the feast that covers the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate it as Easter, but we know it's fulfilled. So the next feast to be fulfilled is the Feast of Trumpets. Now, many believers and people greater minds than mine agree that this feast may allude to the coming seventh year tribulation period. What they say is that this may be the feast that when it's fulfilled, that this will be the feast that completes or starts the 7 year tribulation period, or somewhere within that 3.5 year period. So I think it's really interesting. But that's a little bit of conjecture yet again. So in other words, what I'm saying today is the feast of the day of the hour of which no one knows, could this mean that Jesus is saying that the tribulation period may begin on a feast of trumpets? So if you take the 10-year period, you take out the 3-year period, you've got somewhere in that 7 years where that could be. So just to cover everything that I've said so far, it's a little conjecture, a bit like the fig tree last week, but it is signs that Jesus has been giving, and signs that maybe we haven't been picking up, or signs that the church hasn't even awoken to reading, to seeing. And maybe what Taddy has said last week, what I'm saying this week, is maybe making people think, hang on, there's a lot in the Bible that Jesus is saying that maybe today is becoming more relevant than any other time in history. And if we look at everything that is happening in this world at the moment, it is crazy. And we shouldn't be surprised that the time is coming to an end. The earthquakes in various places, the tsunamis, the storms, the Florida, the Indonesia, the Spain, I think there was Portugal. I mean, it's happening everywhere. And I know we're in stormy season anyway, but a lot of what's going on in the world, you look at the wars across Syria, the Congo, parts of Africa, how fragile everything is. And you start to consider, like I said last week, the marriage issue and everything that's going on. The world is a real boiling place at the minute, where anything is possible and where anything could happen that could really start to kick off the ticking clock down to the final period of time. The period of this world, like I said before, is worse than the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, worse than the days of Noah, when God said that he wished that he hadn't created man. We may not know the exact time when Jesus will return, but we can read the signs, and the signs, like I said at the start, are flashing bright red tonight. When you see the fig bearing its fruit, know that the time is near. When you look at Israel and you can see how they're flourishing in their land and all the cities they've built, how advanced they are in technology. I mean, everything to do with technology is really based. Everything. From it being Intel chips to it being Facebook to all these things, Israel is always at the forefront in everything that they do. And when you see them beginning to bear fruit, when you see them budding, then you will know that time is near. I mean, even when you look at the political shifts in the world at the minute and what's happening across the world, you're beginning to see biblical prophecy shaping up. And to finish this tonight, and I just want to come back to my time, my overarching time concept tonight. There is one verse, or one cliche, or whatever way you want to put it, that Christians use all the time. And it's this: God's timing is perfect. Well, it is perfect because it is independent of our timing. It is not affected by the time that I want God to do something, or the time you need God to do something, or this time that God did something. It's outside of that. God is outside of our time. He is not affected by our time. And further still, and this is something that I really want to push on this, that God is God who is in control. So even though you may think, and even though we know that God is outside of our time, God is still in control of everything that goes on in this world. So God never loses control. He's never late, and he is never too early. And everything that is going to happen will happen at exactly the precise moment and as has been foretold. So don't think that what I've said tonight, it's going to happen when God wants it to happen, when God decides it's going to happen, and when it's been foretold. It's been foretold that these things are going to happen. So therefore, in God's word, 5 billion copies, never found wrong, never found false. God's word says it's going to happen. Trust me, it's going to happen. Nothing will take the believer of God, the one who follows Jesus, nothing will take that person by surprise who knows and loves God. We will not be surprised if we are here that these things happen, because we know it. However, if you don't know God, the timing of God will catch you out. He says that it will be like a thief in the night who will come and take away. He will come in the twinkling of an eye. God will catch out the unbeliever like that. He will not expect what is going to happen. The moment that Jesus returns, it will be too late for the unbeliever. No warning that was given will have been heeded by them. They will not have taken any of the warnings, or to me standing here and preaching, or Taddy, or whoever standing here, giving warning after week, telling you it's time to consider this because Jesus is coming back soon. You say, nah, he's not coming back. I have another 10 years. I wouldn't count in the 10 years. It could be 10 minutes. 10 years is a good guide, though. Just as in the days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, that kind of rhymes, doesn't it? Your destruction will come the moment, I believe, now this is my own thought because we don't know exactly, but if we have Noah and the people being put away safe and taken away and the flood comes and kill them, and then you have Lot and the righteous being taken away from the city, and when they go away the city's destroyed. There's two examples of when God acts upon the wicked. Then it's my thought that maybe Jesus will remove, now he may not, may remove the righteous, the believers, in what people just call the rapture, which I'm not getting into, midway through the point of the tribulation, and we will be spared. It'd be a nice thought. There is a thought, however, that we may have to go through the tribulation. So all that said, and it's been said very quickly, today if you don't know Jesus, if you don't believe in what I'm saying, or maybe you're sitting considering what's being said and thinking, well, there might be something of what Keith said here that's actually got me thinking. At this moment in time, today is the day of salvation, it says, you have the opportunity to ask Jesus into your life. And by that I mean by turning away from the sin in your life and by turning to God through Jesus and saying, Lord, forgive me for the sin that I've committed. Forgive me for the way I've lived my life. From today, from now on, I want to live my life your way. I want to spend my life with you in eternity, and I want to be one of the people who do not go through the tribulation and who do not have to face the wrath of God. You know, tonight, and just as me finishing, I said that the Bible has sold 5 billion copies. I mean, that just blew me away. 5 billion copies. and it is the word of God, and it is living, and it is true, and it is a two-edged sword, and it is what I stand upon, it is what I believe in, it's what I preach from, and it's what the key to everything that I've said tonight. Because without the word of God, I could not tell you the things that I have said. Without the word of God, I would not be able to do those things. So, in finishing tonight, the word of God is truth, it's prophetic, and it is the way, how we learn to live and also to know God better and to trust in his son, Jesus. If you want to go and check anything that I've said, anything that Taddy has said, don't just come to us. Do what I did last week. Spend 2 hours going to check out everything Taddy said. Not that I ever doubted a thing that he said, but because of what he said, I thought was so powerful that I wanted to check it out for myself, and all that I found was good and true. So if you want to search anything I've said tonight, go and check it yourself. Go and search and find that God's word is true, and therefore what I've said about the tribulation, what I've said about the end times, is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you tonight for, like I said, for what you've shown me, and for the excitement that your word... Lord, this is the most exciting book that's ever been written. Lord, it's 2,000 years old since Jesus, and it's thousands of years old before that in the Old Testament. And Lord, every part of that book is still as exciting, still as relevant today as it was then. Lord, Daniel writing what he wrote, and John seeing what he saw in the vision in Revelation, Lord, are so exciting that we cannot but be enthused when we read this and know that you're going to bring all of this that you've said soon. Lord, help us to be prepared. Don't let us be the people, Lord, in here that aren't ready and prepared. These talks, Lord, for the Christian are to help us to keep our head up and to keep our expectancy that Jesus is soon to return. But for those, Lord God, who don't know you, for those, Lord God, who are laughing and mocking, like in the days of Noah, for those, Lord God, who are laughing, Lord God, I just pray that you would open their eyes, that they would have an opportunity, Lord God, to turn from their mockery and turn, Lord God, to glorify and honor you. And we ask this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.